Mark chapter 14, if you will turn there. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Somebody had asked me about what I was going to be preaching on this morning. I gave them a title, and I can just sense the Holy Spirit's leading and what direction He's taking this today. And every song has woven together. And I want to ask you this question. What's in your box? And you say, what in the world are you talking about? What's in your box? You know, we come to that time of the year where politicians are, we have two things. We have trick-or-treaters at the door in a mask, hoping that you know who they are, so you'll give them lots of candy. And politicians at the door in a mask, hoping you won't know who they are, so you give them their vote. And what determines what is trash and what is treasure? And so I want you to get that in your mind, and I'm going to say it a lot so that it gets in your head, is what is in your box? And I want you to imagine that your life as a box, even as a Christmas present, what's in it? What's it made of? You know, in Mark chapter 14, verse number 3, we find our Lord sitting at supper, and I'll explain that in just a moment. It says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And wheresoever ye will may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of a memorial of her. Have you ever wondered what makes gold gold? Now, I don't mean the scientific elements. I know there's dirt, and I have here, I don't remember if this was a gold ring or if it was, I don't remember what it was made out of. But there's different elements we understand in the earth and all of that. We were over in the mountains of North Carolina, western North Carolina, for vacation in September. And you know, in the streams and many places in the dirt, especially in North Carolina, is a thing that is pyrite or fool's gold. And it's just as pretty. I mean, you take it and you begin to look at it. My daughter has a whole bag of it. We went to those little mining things and she just found it and just loves it. It's great for her to play with. If she loses it, who cares? You can get plenty more of it, you know. But why wasn't that considered gold? I mean, maybe I'm the only one that stops to ponder strange things in life. You know, I do. I tend to just look at things and wonder why. I've been to the ATMs before and wondered why there's Braille buttons on a drive-up ATM. And that explains to me why we have so many traffic accidents. But I begin to look at things and I think, well, why? Why do we call gold valuable? Diamonds. Who made them valuable? The price of gold is going up almost daily now. I don't even know what it is. What is it, like $1,600 an ounce or something? $1,200 an ounce, something like that? And yet years ago, if you had gold, you could have bought it for just pennies compared to that. But what makes gold valuable? It is interesting to note that the value is made by you. You are who determines the price of gold and diamonds. Now, it might not be just this small congregation of people, but if we were to take the entire nation of just America, and everybody said, we don't like gold anymore. We're going to buy fool's gold instead. It's cheaper and we like it better. Do you know that by the end of the year, fool's gold would be up there about the price of gold? And gold would be down there where everybody had it and played with it? And I want you to keep that thought in the back of your mind as I ask you, what is in your box? Your life. Every day, you're going to get about 1,440 minutes to deal with. What's in them? What's in your box every day? Not next year, not next week, but this hour. I want you to see the anointing. It says that Mary came in, and this is actually recorded in several of the Gospels, and we see that Mary comes into this setting. Now, let me describe the setting for you. Whenever they would have a meal, as Jesus was here, and he was at the home of Lazarus, or I'm sorry, Simon the leper, not Lazarus, but Lazarus also lived in Bethany, but Mary was Lazarus' sister. And as they would have a meal, it wasn't like we would do, where we would sit down, we would have a meal. We often don't even take time to eat together anymore, do we? I think one of the things that we've lost in our century is the hospitality factor, having people come over to dinner and kind of spending a little time to eat. You know, Americans, if we are what we eat, most of us are fast, cheap, and easy, you know, because that's really what we eat a lot of. But as they would go into a meal, it wasn't like that. It would take some time for the preparation of the meal. They would come in. They would take their shoes off. They would have a servant that would perhaps wash their feet because of the dirt of the road. They would kind of put their cloaks aside and they would kind of settle in for the evening. In those days, instead of having a chair at the table, they would have a couch-like arrangement that you could actually recline. The reason was that you would eat for some time. And you'd be full, and then you would kind of lean back, and everybody would talk, and then you'd kind of straighten up and eat again. It doesn't sound like a bad idea, does it? You know, imagine if we went into Golden Corral, and they had a couch right up beside the buffet. Well, that's every Baptist dream, you know? And what would happen is, and of course, since they did not have television, they didn't have internet and phones and all that stuff. The rabbis of the day, or the educated, the wise, the sages, would then begin to expound either scriptures or even stories. Some of them comical, some of them with satire, some of them with irony, and they would begin to teach. And even those that were perhaps not invited, that would kind of be on the outside, would gather around in the courtyard of these homes and would kind of listen in to see what was going on and what was being taught. And it was the entertainment and combined with teaching. And so this was going on. The meal has taken place. And Jesus, many times we find him in this setting teaching in that manner in people's homes. And then the silent air at the edge of the crowd lets them know something is happening. Because in comes Mary. And it's obvious that she's something on her mind. She comes forward and walks over to where Christ is sitting. But she doesn't stand and greet him or in the traditional Jewish manner. In fact, she falls to the ground and worships. Says that first she breaks the box over his head. Later you find she also washes his feet and just different things there. And she breaks this box on his head and anoints him. What was in the box? Spikenard ointment. Spikenard was not your traditional cologne or perfume. Today we have perfume that, I don't know who comes up with these perfume names, you know. There's even one called Sweat. Now who on earth wants to go around smelling like a dirty locker room, you know? I don't know. There's obsession and passion, and this, they'll say, well, this one wears this cologne, or this one wears, you know, this will attract the girls to you or the guys to you. You just put this one on. Well, we know they're all advertising ploys, but this was not a perfume that you would wear. This was embalming fluid in our day. Now, no, it was not necessarily injected in the veins, but what they would do is they would take this and put it on someone when they had died to help with the odors until they would, of course, be buried. And so she anoints him with this embalming fluid for our reference. Now, don't you think it would be quite unusual if we were back here at the Veterans Day celebration, perhaps, and somebody came in and maybe walked up to Brother Billy and broke a box over his head and it was embalming fluid? We'd think they were crazy. But you see, it was in her box to do that. And there's a number of lessons that we must see here. The choice of the ointment. And friends, you have a choice of what's in your box. You've got a choice. Many of you will make that choice today. Of course, every person has to choose whether they want to trust Jesus Christ as Savior of their life or not. That's the first choice. The second choice is not only about salvation, but of service. I believe it has been well stated that everyone has to come to a point in their life where they decide, I am going to serve God or I am not. Napoleon Bonaparte believed there was a moment, a 5 minutes time span in every battle where the battle could be won or lost. When I was coaching basketball, high school basketball, I often felt the same. And there were moments in a game where you knew it was now or never. You must make the right call. You must make the right play or that game's lost. And if you know anything about high school sports, I mean, it can change just like that. The momentum. It is also true in your life. I believe God gives you a window, and God graciously gives us more than one chance many times. But now I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about your service. Are you just going to be a so-so average Christian, or are you going to do something great? What's in your box? There was a choice of the box. There was a cost of the ointment. I shudder when I walk through some of these stores and I see the price of these perfumes today, you know? I mean, you can get the cheap brands and then you can get the expensive brands. And you know what the difference is? Usually it's the cost, isn't it? A lot of them made of the same stuff, I think. I don't know. Somebody's endorsement. You think fuel's high, though. Imagine trying to have your car run on perfume. Or even bottled water. Some of the bottled water. You know, some of that flavored water. I mean, you go to a Minute Market, and what is it, a dollar something for a little, 16 ounces of water? And so even though gasoline is expensive, there are other products that we would not want to run our car on. This ointment had a cost. 300 pence. They tell us that this was an average equivalent of the average working man's wage for a year. This ointment was costly. Many families could only afford to buy one. So if you wanted to get it first, you die first. You got the ointment. And it was actually used, they would have this as a family. Some actual brides actually would take this ointment and it would be a dowry when they got married. Now that's kind of a strange dowry, isn't it? I guess they knew that death was on the horizon at some point in their life, and we don't really have that kind of reaction at a wedding today. I think somebody would probably have a little problem if they came into their marriage and the bride said, here, honey, I've got you some embalming fluid. Along with a life insurance policy. No, I think they'd have a little problem with that, wouldn't they? But there was a cost. How much does your box cost? Do you realize, I don't know if you realize, if you're going to serve God, it's going to cost you. It will cost you something. If it hasn't cost you something, you're probably not serving God. Sacrifice, and we use that word so freely sometimes. I'm reminded of the ham and the chicken and the pig who were looking at each other and going to have a fundraiser. And they were trying to do something to help their local church, and the chicken looked at the pig and he said, "I tell you what, let's have a ham and egg breakfast. I mean, I'll supply the eggs and you supply the ham." The pig said, "I think we need to think about that proposal." And he said, "Why not?" And he said, "For you, it's a commitment. For me, it's a sacrifice." Sacrifice is not sacrifice until it changes the way you live. If it has not changed the way you live, then you have not sacrificed. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've had decisions that you've made for God that have literally changed the way you live. I was watching Miss Judy as she was singing up here this morning, and I know what she's going through. We've been there. When they stepped out and said, "We're going to commit to give our lives to another world," it changes your life. And it doesn't matter where that other world is. When you begin to realize all the implications of that, that's sacrifice. And everybody doesn't need to go to another country. Wouldn't have anybody here to minister here. But you do have to be willing to go. What is in your box? The affirming. Oh, well, before we go there, let's look at the aggravating. We find the world here a lot. And we see the murmuring. In verse number 5, it says that they murmured against her. We find in another passage of Scripture, Judas was complaining as well. And the Scripture tells us, for he had the bag. He had the money. He was watching that and he said, "Why this waste? We should have sold that and we would have had it in our treasury." Well, Judas was doing one of those, one for you and two for me, one for you and three for me. And he was taking some, we understand. Well, they begin to complain about her. And they use this little phrase, "Why this great waste?" Or "Why this waste?" She has wasted this ointment. You see, for the box to be fragrant and to be used, it had to be crushed and broken. And many times, your box has to be broken before it can be used. Had a man one time tell me, he said, "Brother Tim, God will never use you greatly until you've been broken." And I know I've been through some of those experiences where I felt just completely crushed and broken. And yet every time God took us to a higher plane in our life after that. What's in your box this morning? There was an aggravation from these disciples, not just Judas, all of them. They begin to complain and say, "What is she doing? She has wasted this ointment. She can't get it back." And friends, 10 minutes ago is gone. You can't get it back. Last year is gone. We are quickly approaching 2011. And 10 will be gone. And yet, when I was a child, I remember hearing science fiction movies make reference to 2020 and 2010. We're living them. You see, you cannot get them back. And the motive of their murmuring was purely economical. They were looking and saying, "What waste?" I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, "Well, why do they do that? Why does Billy spend all that money and waste all that money to travel to the Philippines? What a waste of that money. Why does he do that? Why do we have missionaries that forsake their home, sell everything they have, and go to a foreign field?" And there are many, many who don't understand that say, "That's a waste of the box." Jim Elliott, if you've ever heard that story, it's amazing. Jim Elliott, a very talented football player, very talented man, gave his life to the Inca Indians. He and another crew traveled around the world down to these Indians trying. They said, "Nobody can go in there and live. They'll kill you." But it was, if I remember the story correctly, about 7 of them that traveled down to that mission field. And they were able to make contact with them. And they were so excited, they began to witness and minister to these Indians. And they killed them. Jim Elliot and his friends. They found them stabbed to death with spears in their back, their plane demolished. And the world cried out, "What a waste." And yet, through that, Elizabeth Elliot was able to go with others, with the grace of God, to those same Indians and lead hundreds and thousands of them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Completely changed that culture. What was in his box? Indians that needed a Savior. And what is in your box? And in her box was this motive. Their mistaken motive was the fact that this box must be crushed. It must be poured out. It must be spilled to be any good. The fragrance of a rose is truly not let out until it is crushed. And we see the affirming. You want to find yourself? Well, get lost in Jesus. You know, I hear that little term, "I'm out to find myself," you know. When I was growing up, you said, "I just want to go over here and spend a couple of years just finding myself." They said, "Well, go get a job while you're doing it," you know. And we got to find ourselves. Well, there you are. I see you. You're right there. I think we need to spend less time finding ourselves and more time finding Him and getting busy doing what He wants. What's in your box? You see, we find out that she had lost this box, and yet Jesus Christ, the affirming, says it will be a memorial for her forever. I find it interesting. One of the chief complainers about this ointment being wasted would die by suicide after he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting? What was in his box? Every one of you have a box of your life. And it's going to be gone soon. It's just like that. Life is going quickly. I mean, every minute is fleeting by. And he says this will be a memorial for her. But I asked you earlier, what makes gold gold? You know, what makes value a valuable thing? We place a lot of value on the dollar. But if you were on a desert island, as the old stories all go, and you had $1 million in gold and no food, you'd give it all up, wouldn't you? For the food. I remember hearing the story of a man who, two men who were actually marooned on a desert island, and they could see no rescue. They stayed there a couple of days and were living off of the fruits that they could find. And finally, the one looked at the other and said, "I tell you, we might better make sure everything's right with our Creator because it doesn't look good." And the other guy said, "I'm not worried." And he said, "Why aren't you worried?" And he said, "Friend, I make $10 million a year." And he said, "Well, what's that got to do with it?" He said, "Oh, I'm not worried." Well, this happened for several days. And every time he said, "Well, I'm not worried. I make $10 million a year." And finally he said, "Would you shut up about $10 million a year? Why doesn't that worry you?" And he said, "Because it's April 1st. I make $10 million a year. The 15th's coming. The IRS will find me." We place value on money, paper. I mean, if you think about it, what's the worth of a dollar bill? About 50 cents? I mean, it's paper. It really isn't worth anything, is it? Unless there is the gold to back it up. And then unfortunately, we're beginning to realize that there's probably not the gold there to back it up. And then you go to the old thing that I just asked. Why? Well, what worth is the gold? Well, it's the value. You see, I find here the affirming that Jesus said that ointment was worth something. It's going to be a memorial for her throughout the entire world. How many thousands of messages have been preached from this passage? I mean, this little lady probably didn't have no idea that this thing would ever be known. This was just a private, a little bit of a public act, but not very big, not very many people there. I mean, just imagine the significance of this. Something that you did lasting for thousands of years. What a legacy. And it comes to realize what's in your box. Is it your house? Is it your boat? Is it your car? I hope it's not your computer. Because you can buy one today and it's 3 months old, you know. I mean, the technology is changing that fast. Is it your new phone? It's the same way. I mean, the phone you buy today is outdated yesterday. I mean, now they have the Droid, you know. I mean, by the time they get through advertising the Droid, I'm afraid to put such a critter in my pocket. It might attack me or something, you know. And I really think that they're advertising the fact that it can find itself and let you know when it's lost. And I said, we need to quit worrying about finding phones and work on car keys. But what is it made of? Your car, your keys, your animals? They're just dust. As the adage goes, there's no U-Haul trailer behind a hearse. And even if there were, it wouldn't do any good. I mean, it would absolutely do no good. And we often think that when we come to church, that we've done our duty, and so now we can go about the rest of the week. But friend, true Christianity is Sunday to Sunday, not just on Sunday. Luke chapter 17, Gospel of Luke, in chapter 17, the disciples had this same mistaken idea as Jesus asked them, in essence, what's in your box? Luke chapter 17, in verse number 8, he gives a parable. Let's start in verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to eat meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that he were commanded? I trow not, or I think not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which ye are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. Do you realize when you come to church, when you tithe, when you do those kind of things, you're just doing what your duty is to do. Anybody ever go outside, get in your car, crank it up, and then stop and get outside on your knees and say, oh, thank you, car, thank you, thank you? You would if you've had some of the cars we've driven. No, you expect your car to crank up. You expect your microwave to microwave. You expect your toaster to toast toast. You expect your coffee maker to make coffee. Praise God, we'd never have mornings without coffee. That's their duty. You expect your children to behave, and well, you're just on your own on that one. What? We expect those things. And Jesus tells us, look, when you do the things that I've commanded you, that's just your duty. That's what you're supposed to do. A fish supposed to act like a fish, a pig like a pig. And so they begin to murmur, and back to our story here, they begin to complain, and she's just doing her duty, and now she's gone a little bit above and she's sacrificing. But I just simply want to get this message to you. What in your box? Some of you are here this morning and you have begun to realize that your box is painful. That your box is sometimes pitiful. That your box is sometimes poor. And it's easy to begin to feel sorry for yourself. As you drive, you know, you may drive along and you say, well, I'm serving God, why don't I have a car like that guy? Or I'm serving God, why don't I have a house like that? Here I am serving God. Why do we have to live week to week when there are some of these people out there that are just absolutely filthy rich and they live filthy? Well, what's in your box? And many of you have been facing the world's criticism saying, but you're wasting your life. Man, I tell you what, I wouldn't be doing, I wish I could do more. I hear missionaries that come through, like this brother that was here the other night, that's in Venezuela. And they're having 250 to 300 in an outdoor service without even a roof. And I say, what a waste. And people say, what a waste he's doing with his life, such talent. And I thank God for the opportunities he gives us. Brother LaVon this morning is out at a softball field preaching. You say, what a crazy idea. No, he's going to get the opportunity. I'm jealous. I gave him the thing because I couldn't go. I had to be here. And I said, I love you folks, but man, he's going to be preaching where there's a lot of fish. He's going to be out there preaching in a softball ministry we'd gotten involved in a while ago where there's people that don't go in church all the time sharing the gospel. We were able Friday night to share the gospel with a whole bleacher full of teenagers. There were kids sitting on the floor. I was so excited. Here we were in a public school being able to share the gospel. What an opportunity. And they've asked us to continue that ministry next year for every home game. Said, man, we're going to walk through that door just as long as we can walk it. But what is in your box? The world says, well, why were you out there till 1 o'clock in the morning the other night? Well, we got back about midnight. I couldn't go to sleep then. I was too excited about the five kids getting saved. And you shift gears. Last night, all this, you know, some people look at it and say, well, how much did it cost to rent those jumpy things last night? What a waste. These kids jumped on in a few hours. No. We had kids here where it was safe. They could hear. They had a puppet story told them about Jesus. They were right. We handed out, I don't know how many tracts last night. Friday night, we had young people that were able to walk through the stands of South Johnson High and hand out gospel tracts. One of them came back and said, somebody's showing to me. And I said, well, now you know how Jesus felt, huh? Well, I was proud of our kids. Our kids that were able to go, they walked through the bleachers handing out tracts to people. If I guesstimate, it was probably 300 tracts that went out. And people say, what a waste. What were they doing there Friday night? Well, that was in their box. And they had to be crushed a little bit to let the fragrance out. The book of Revelation says the vial that would come up as an odor was the prayers of the saints. Think any of your prayers has ever been a sweet smell to Jesus? He says that he collects those and that it's like perfume coming up to him. You know, we don't always see the treasure in the trash, do we? I remember the first car I ever owned. I pulled it home and it had the engine was in the trunk, but it was a Chevrolet Camaro. It was not a rear engine car. But I mean, I love that car. And we began to restore that thing and I was so excited because I could see what it could be. Rebuilt the engine and all of those things and did all that stuff to it because I could see the treasure there. Since that time, I've been allowed to see treasure in a lot of places and different things over the years, and eBay's a wonderful place to sell trash. I said, it's great. You can find something that's worth nothing to you, put it on eBay, and mail your garbage off to somebody else, and they pay you for it. What a good deal. But you see, it's treasure to them. And there's many things. I think probably the strangest thing I ever sold, I was walking one morning and there on somebody's trash pile. Newport Richie, they would pile all the trash by the road, of course. We had all these garbage pickups that come by. And right on top of the trash was laying a walker, like a handicap walker. I thought, well, we ought not to throw that away. And so I picked it up and took it home with me. My dog and I'd go on a walk every morning, so he was pretty used to dragging something home, you know. I said, I wonder what we can do with it. And I tried to give it away. Nobody wanted it. And just for kicks, I said, I'll put this thing on eBay. And, you know, I got $5 out of that thing plus shipping. And it got sent to somewhere in Puerto Rico. And somebody in Puerto Rico thought that was a great deal. I have no idea why, but they did. I mean, over the years, I've been allowed to see a few other things like that. One guy had some old jet ski hulls. He said, Tim, list those things on me for eBay. He said, if we can get $50 out of them, that'd be great. And I looked at them and I thought, man, if you get $25 out of them, we may have to pay to haul them off. But he was a friend, and I said, okay. It was a three-seater jet ski, didn't have an engine in it, didn't have it been stripped. All it was a hull. And I put that thing on eBay. And you should have seen his face, because he told me he'd split the money with me. You should have seen his face when I walked into church that next Sunday. And I said, well, guess what? And he said, what? And I said, a guy came, picked up the jet ski hole yesterday. And he said, well, how much did we get? And I said, $400 apiece. That thing sold for $800. And I thought they were crazy. And I said, you got any more of them? We need a few more. But every now and then we luck up on something like that, you know? And you hear of people that find a painting that's worth millions at a garage sale, you know? The guy that found a, you know, he finds an old book and he said, well, it ain't worth nothing. Some guy named Will Rogers scrawled all over it. You know, and you find these things. I wonder how many baseball cards have been chopped up over the wheel, over the years to make the little noise in the wheels on bicycles, you know? Some of you older folks know what I'm talking about, you know. You stick the, you younger folks probably don't understand that. You put the, teaching you something here. You can't get this anywhere else. You put those little baseball cards in the wheels of the spokes of the bicycle and it makes a nice little noise when you're riding. But it's treasure out of trash. Many years ago, someone found actually in a house attic the recipe for Kentucky Fried Chicken's famous recipe. They had to pay so many, it was an outrageous amount of money to get it back because they didn't want that recipe going out. I mean, it looks like after these years, 13 herbs and spices, somebody would figure out which 13 it was, you know, and they were wanting to know. Treasure in the trash. But what's in your box? And you may be tempted this morning to say, I'm tired of it. I'm just going to live like the world. I want an 8-to-5 job where I don't have to be bothered. I just want to do just like everybody else. I don't want to have to worry about it, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. Or you may be in the workforce where you say, I'm there every day, but God's placed you there to witness to a particular person, but you say, I'm tired of it. Can I tell you, friend, it's in your box. You never know how that employer or that employee at work might need what's in your box. And sometimes it's hard to be a Christian in the workplace. Sometimes you get made fun of for it. And they say it's waste. I want you to do something for me. Something, this is simple. Everybody here can do it. Just take a deep breath. Now let that out. Congratulations, you have just wasted one breath. And you'll do that again, I hope. If you don't, please let us know because we'd like to know how to help you. You waste breath all the time. When you breathe in, of course you are breathing oxygen. And your body emits a waste substance, which we know scientists tell us is carbon dioxide. Or dioxide. You can't breathe it. It'll kill you. Isn't it nice to know that you're breathing out poison? But now, I don't know if this flower here, it looks like it's a fake flower. I think it is. I was over at Brother Billy's the other day watering some of his plants, and I almost watered one of the fake ones. And I said, I better not do that. You, if you went outside and did that, the trees and the bushes around you are going, because they need that carbon dioxide to grow and to thrive. And God has created that delicate balance to where we are emitting what would be poison to us, but it's not poison to them. In your box, your human life is a life, vital life substance to those trees. It's treasure. It's not waste. You see, we don't know what's in our box. Sometimes our box is full of heartache. Sometimes it's not. It may not be heartache, but hallelujahs. You never know what is in your box. But as we go through this life, we need to remember, as Mary did, that we need to just do exactly what God wants us to do with that box. There may be somebody here that God has been dealing with you about full-time Christian service. And you don't want to do it. You might say, God, I can't do that. I cannot afford to. Friend, can I tell you, if God calls you into full-time Christian service and you don't do it, you can't afford not to. I can tell you time after time, I know of a couple who surrendered to the mission field. They tried it out and said, we just can't afford to do that. And today, they're miserable. Miserable. They got plenty of money, but they're miserable. Know a man who was a youth pastor, a great one, and he was going to give his life to God. And he began to get his eyes off of it, and in his box, he didn't see enough money. And so he began to follow the golden dream and chase that. And eventually, not only was he not in the ministry, he was not in church. And the next thing to go was his family. And then they divorced, and then it was just heartache after heartache after heartache. And today, as far as I know, he's a successful businessman, but he's lonely and miserable. God begins to prick your heart. Young people, when you're young and God begins to talk to you and say, I want you to be a missionary. I want you to be a pastor. I want you to do something. Come down to this altar and cement that decision. And don't ever look back. God will take care of you. What's in your box this morning? Has the sacrifice cost you anything? Jonathan Edwards, born October 5th, 1703, and he died March 22nd, 1758, very young, gave his life. And people said, what are you doing? And yet thousands trusted Christ, even today, from his message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And the world said, what a waste, what a shame. You know, you can just imagine, if we were eating dinner. Maybe down here at the cookout. You ever been to the cookout? I haven't been there in a long time. Remember they had a little bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich. It was good. Get you good and hungry for lunch, you know. Just imagine that me and Brother Charles, we're going to go down to cookout and get us a meal and then sit down in the parking lot and eat it. And as we're sitting there long eating, all of a sudden, a wind comes by and spills my glass of water. And I look at that and I say, my goodness, look at that. I've just wasted my water. But unbeknownst to me, about that time, here comes a little ant and he gets a little drink of it. A little bird comes by and dabbles in it. As a frog starts to croak, dummy thinks it's raining. You see, what was waste to me is not waste to the rest of the critters. And hopefully they'll feel sorry for me and give me another water to drink. What's in your box? You have a choice. You have a choice this morning to either serve God with everything you've got, with every fiber of your being, 100%, or to not. What are you going to do? What is in your box this morning that you can give to Him? You may not have anything but your life, but would you give it? If Jesus were to ask you to surrender 100%, holding nothing back, will you do it?